Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing with Digest. I'm Stephanie Sloan, editorial director, here with Mara Levinsky, senior editor.
Hi, everyone.
Mara, we are here to talk about one of our favorite issues of the year, the best and worst. Now, this is always a weeks-long process where we have to look back on everything that happened over the course of the year and remember those stories from January and February that seem like so long ago and really examine what deserved praise and, what didn't. Every year we say we're going to start a list in January and add to it all year because it would make it easier, but we never do. But I'm going to give a big pass for this year because, COVID. But speaking of that, 2020 was unlike any other because we had three shows, Bold and Beautiful, General Hospital, and Young and the Restless, that didn't air for a few months. And then, like, in a way, it made it easier because we had fewer things to choose from. But then we also had an embarrassment of riches, if you will, from Days, since that show was the only one that consistently aired all year. They did four weddings alone in July, so they certainly gave us something to talk about for best and worst weddings.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to say that the nuptials we went with for worst, Eric and Nicole, were kind of a shoo-in because fans of that pairing had been waiting and waiting for them to finally make it to the altar, and it just didn't feel like a ceremony that was treated that way. You know, it was sort of more on the low-key side, not the kind of grand spectacle you might expect of a decades-in-the-making affair. It was harder to choose best wedding because Days alone gave us so many options. And that's an instance where we talk it out and we try to reach a consensus. And I saw online that some Sin fans were very miffed that their wedding wasn't picked. But given not only what they went through before the wedding, but what happened to them in the wake of the wedding, it really seemed to us like, how could Ben and Sierra not be most tortured couple?
Yeah, I can't think of a more tortured couple this year than those two. Let's review. So he was almost executed. Then a bomb exploded at their wedding. And then he was taken captive and stripped down to his skivvies. And then tortured by Eve and Vincent. And then just when it looked like they would finally be happy, Ben was programmed to kill Sierra, which didn't happen. But Vincent took her hostage and either killed her or made it appear that she's dead. And either way, come on, people. That screams most tortured couple to me. As for Nicole and Eric, I got a lot of flack from readers for not putting them on the cover in July and doing a splashy wedding piece in book. But, I really had no choice because we literally had zero photos from that wedding. There was not a photographer on set that day and nothing was taken of them. So that really is the main reason why they were worse wedding. I'm with the readers, I get it. I waited 22 years for them to tie the knot. But for whatever scheduling reason, when Days was shooting their nups, it just wasn't covered in the same way the other three were.
There is very little that pains us more as magazine editors than photos not existing of these key moments that we want to cover in the magazine.
Absolutely.
Now, we've given best show to B&B for the lion's share of the last few years, but this year that honor went to GH. And I think GH had its creative ups and its creative downs this year, which I can say of every show. But I think when GH was good, it was so good. You know what I mean? Yep. The execution of the Mike storyline was pretty impeccable in 2020. I think last year, as strong as that story was, there were elements of it that fans weren't feeling quite so much. And I'm thinking specifically of Mike's romance with Yvonne, which I don't think was so successful and seemed to distract from the central relationship at the heart of the story that people really cared about, which is the Mike-Sunny relationship. But I think that story was a real highlight of GH this year. And I also feel like we wanted to salute the show for how many you know, genuinely shocking twists it packed into the year and how ambitiously produced it is. I think the explosion at the Floating Rib that aired only recently is a great example of how much GH excels at pulling out all the stops to make exciting television.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. There was definitely a lot to love on GH this year. In a similar vein, story-wise, we gave best exit to the death of YNR's Dina, who also had Alzheimer's. You know, it was a really well-done end to that storyline, and that last shot of her portrayer, Marla Adams, like meeting John in the great beyond, if you will definitely stay with me for a while. As for worst exit, it really could not go to anyone but Daze's Hope. Now, I know the show was in somewhat of a bind because they didn't expect the last episode Christian Alfonso shot to be her last as Hope, you know, when they broke for the COVID break. But that just speaks to the questionable thinking of sidelining that character altogether. I mean, Hope is a mainstay of Daze, super popular, beloved by viewers. So when Christian didn't come back after the COVID shutdown, the writers were forced to pivot and just had Hope like leave a note that she was going off to find Sierra. You know, it was a big letdown for viewers, no flashbacks, no look back at her contributions to the show over like 3+ decades. And it kind of was a low moment for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. On the B&B front, we of course had to give most shocking twist to the tale that B&B ripped from its own headlines, which was Thomas romancing Hope's mannequin lookalike. I honestly can't remember the last time B&B got most shocking twist, like insofar as, you know, Daze and GH are the shows that lean toward the outlandish, much more so than B&B. But that story definitely got some tongues a-wagging. And while we also gave best third-party interference to B&B's Quinn and her shenanigans to bust up Ridge and Brooke and marry Ridge off to Shauna, I was very happy to write worst third-party interference for GH's Dolores, Sam's parole officer who kept J-Sam from being together for the first chunk of the year. But I do hope that people will read the section and let us know what they thought of our picks. I did also see on Twitter that plenty of Eli and Lonnie fans were quite happy with our selection of them for best wedding.
Well, our guest today is one half of that duo. It's Lamone Archie, better known to Daze fans as Eli Grant. So let's check in with him and see how he's doing. Hi, Lamone.
Hey there.
Lamone, we are so psyched to be talking to you today, and we want to congratulate you kind of on Eli's behalf, we suppose, because Soap Opera Digest named Eli and Lonnie's ceremony as the best wedding of 2020 in our best and worst issue.
What? Okay. That's dope. Oh, wow. That's dope. Thank you. I'd like to thank the Academy and Soap Opera Digest and everyone involved for recognizing a historic moment in Days of Our Lives history. Yes. So thank you for that. While I was talking to you guys, I hung up on Sal. She was calling me, but I'll have to call her and inform her in the news. Maybe she'll have a couple shout outs as well.
Maybe she was calling to tell you and we stole her thunder.
That's probably what happened.
Well, remarkably enough, this was like the first African-American wedding in the 55-year history of Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
What did like that part of it mean to you to, you know, be part of that milestone for the show?
Although, you know what, going back a little further, I didn't find out that we were the first African-Americans to actually get married on the show until I hopped on Twitter one day and I was just kind of going through and people were talking about it and I was like, no way. So I kind of, you know, asked some people and, you know, going through history, I'm like, wow, we really are the first African-Americans to get married on screen on Days of Our Lives. So, you know, it's always great to be a part of history. And as African-American, of course, you want to be a part of Black history. Of course, it's a shame that it didn't happen before, but we are, you know, we're truly thankful and glad that Days of Our Lives, you know, chose us to bring the first African-American wedding to the show. And we're thankful and we're just happy, you know, to get it done. And on top of getting it done, to win a Soap Opera Digest recognition for it, you know, it's great. And I think the fans enjoyed it as well. So it, all in all, it's a good thing.
I mean, there were 3 other weddings that month. So it's not as though there was only one wedding and, you know, we went with that.
Yeah, for sure. And it was a lot of troubles that were involved in it as well. You know, so you got everything in it. You got drama, you got love, and you also got some Black history in it with us jumping the broom.
Right. We wanted to ask you about that. Was that something that you and Sal proposed?
Yeah.
Or they write it in.
Yeah. Sal and I, we were talking. It was after a scene or whatnot. And I don't remember if it was her or if it was me. And, you know, we're like, oh, it would be a great idea if we could jump the broom, you know? And I think even at this time, we had no idea we were the first African-American getting married on the show. And I walked away. Next thing I know, I look up and Sal's talking to Albert, who's the executive producer. And she's like, yeah, you know, we should do this, blah, 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 blah. And long story short, I think it was maybe the next day. I guess maybe he had went back to her and spoke with her, and she came and told me, she was like, guess what? We're going to jump the broom. So we were super excited about that. We were pumped. And I think they did a good job. They did a great job doing that as well, even adding in, you know, a lot of viewers aren't going to know the history regarding jumping the broom. So Ron and the writing team, they, you know, they came up and not only put it in the script, but they also gave a little short brief history of what it was about, you know, and I thought that was great as well.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, we will surely be talking more Ilani as our conversation goes, but we also want to get to know you better. Mm-hmm. So you grew up in San Mateo, California, and you've described yourself in Digest interviews as like a really introverted kid and teen. So when you look back on young Lamone, do you see any inkling, any hints that this guy would eventually end up in front of the camera in show business?
None at all. I mean, absolutely not at all. I didn't. And you know what? I still am very much an introvert. I still hold on to a piece of that. But I do understand that there's a time to turn it on and a time to turn it off. But no, I mean, back then I was very closed off. I mean, I wasn't even really going, you know, places where you need to smooze and do small talk and things like that. I was never a fan of that. I was first one to be like, pass. I'm cool. I remember even when I first started doing commercial auditions, different from modeling, it was like, you know, they want to see the warm, charming guy smiling and things like that. And that just wasn't me. I've been told for probably my whole life, as far as I can remember, that I always look like I'm mad, or I look mean, or and I'm unapproachable. And on the inside, I'm so happy. I'm a very happy person on the inside. But it just doesn't, for some reason, it just doesn't show on the outside. So I had to learn that, you know, I kind of have to brighten myself up. I have to smile more and things like that. And, you know, it's half of me is like, oh, you know, hey, got to do it. It's part of the business. You just have to, you know, be open. And part of me is like, well, I just want to be my damn self. I don't want to smile. I'm not going to smile. You know, so I still go back and forth with that. I think I've kind of wavered off your question, and I probably don't even remember what it was. But here we are now. So what was you saying?
if you saw any indication, you know, when you look back, it's like, oh yeah, I see now how clearly I was meant to be in the theater. But yeah. You're nope. Saying no.
No, not at all. Never would have guessed it.
Well, if I have this right, after high school, you moved to LA, which was not to pursue acting, but to live with an uncle of yours. And you kind of stumbled into modeling, as you've put it. So tell us how that happened.
Yeah, I moved out to Los Angeles with my uncle, and I was living in Torrance. I wish I had a great story on why I moved. I just wasn't really doing anything positive. Well, I won't say positive, but I just wasn't really making any progress in life. So I was like, you know, I moved out here with my uncle just to try something different. At that time, I was installing and refinishing hardwood floors. So I was a carpenter, and I was at a job fair, and this woman came up to me and she was like, hey, you know, you should be into modeling, and you know, you should be a model. And my initial reaction was like, never, not even gonna happen. So she, you know, she was like, well, at least, you know, I turned her down. And she was like, well, okay, I know someone who's a manager, just meet him. It's no harm in meeting him. So I met him, and you know, he kind of, you know, told me about some stuff or whatnot. And he was like, I have a fashion show that you can be in, you can make some money. Well, I needed money. I was looking for a job. I took the job. I got to the fashion show. There was a bunch of beautiful women. I walked up and down a runway a couple of times in some clothes, and I made some money, and the rest was history.
What is the most like memorable gig you ever did as a model?
You know what? It's a show called Glamorama, and it was a part of Macy's, I believe. And we would do shows in three different cities, Minneapolis, Chicago, and I could be wrong. I think the last one was Los Angeles, but I could be wrong. And it was always, you know, each city we went to, we'd stay a while and we got to know everyone. And it was always so much fun because, you know, the people that were on the show, I knew a lot of them and we got to hang out. We had parties and come to rehearsals the next show, the next day, wasted from the night out. It was just always a good time. It was one of those jobs where, yes, you were getting paid, but you knew you were going out there to act a fool and have fun. And that was by far, I would always love when I would do Glamorama.
Now, it was your manager who first told you to get into acting class and expressed confidence that you could wind up on a soap if you did so. So did you feel an instant connection to acting when you started getting into it, or not really?
No, acting for me came extremely hard. Like, it was not easy at all. And again, it was, you know, I think I kind of tie it into just me being, you know, more of a closed off person and not just, you know, open and to other people as well. So it was a push for me to really open up. So it did take a while. You know, I had to go to class, and even when, you know, I booked the show on YNR, I wasn't ready. You know, it was like I was kind of just scratching the surface, and I was thankful and really ecstatic that they brought me on, but I didn't realize till later that I just wasn't ready at that time. There was still a lot more work that I needed to do. And, you know, I've come a long way and there's still so far to go. Acting is one of those things where you just never, in my belief, you never reach a point where you've like, okay, I got it down. There's nothing anyone else can teach me. I know it all. You never really hit that. You never hit that mark in this career. And that's one of the things that I love about it, is there's always things to learn. Every day there's, you know, new things that are happening. So to go back to your question, no, it definitely, you know, it wasn't something that came easy, and it wasn't something that I was immediately attracted to and into as well.
So
like modeling.
Before YNR, I think you actually had like an under 5 part on Days of Our Lives, which is funny.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember like who you played and who you worked with when you made that like brief pit stop in Salem?
Yeah, I remember when I played a police officer, it was the first time I was on Days of Our Lives, and I had a scene with Bo and Hope. And I vaguely remember what happened in the scene. I just remember being scared. I was scared. And again, I didn't really know what I was doing. I think my main focus was, do not forget the line. I don't care how you say it. I don't care how it comes out, as long as you say what was on the paper. That was my focus. I didn't care how I sounded. I literally could have sounded like I was reading the paper. It didn't matter, as long as I got the words out. And I remember there was another scene I had where I don't remember who the girl was. She probably was a runaway and she had dropped the chain. I found her or something like that. I don't really remember the story too much. But I just remember being scared, and I just remember all that was like, just don't forget the lines, and I don't want to mess up. It was my first time out there. I had no idea what to expect.
Well, literally 8 years to the day of when this podcast will come out, you made your proper daytime debut as Mason Wilder, a great soap name, on Young and the Restless. So what do you remember about your YNR audition? And had you been in serious contention for a soap job prior to that?
You know what? I think my manager, to answer your last question, I think my manager, like you said before, when he scouted me, he was like, oh, you know, I definitely believe that I can put you in a soap opera. So I think it was always in his mind that he was like, that's first stop. We're going to be there for sure. My audition was for the role. I can't remember the role's name, but I remember it was myself and Redrick, who's a friend of mine. We both went out for the same role, and he and I auditioned for it. And my first, we had two scenes. My first read was with Kane, right?
Uh-huh. Daniel. Okay.
Yes, Daniel. And my second read, it was all on the same day. We tested with both of them. Was with his wife on the show, and I can't remember her name right now. What's her name? I know y'all.
Crystal Khalil.
Yes. Okay. So we tested with both of them. My first scene with Kane went really well. My second scene, which was like the chemistry read with, again, what's her name?
Crystal. She played
Crystal.
Lily.
she's lovely, went horrible. And I knew it too. It was one of those things. I knew it. I was like, oh, it's a wrap. So long story short, they saw that my read with Kane went well, and they saw that my read with Crystal was horrible. So they gave the job to Redrick, which well-deserving for him. And they did like me. So they decided to write in the character of Mason for me. So that's how I ended up getting the job as Mason Wilder on The Young and Restless. So it was a doozy, but it was all a part of the plan in life.
So on Y&R, you worked with heavy hitters like Peter Bergman and Eric Braeden, and your very first day you were opposite Michelle Stafford. So like, as you think back on your Y&R experience and the year that you spent in Genoa City, what are the highlights for you?
Wow, that's a good question. What are the highlights from Y&R? I think, you know, I don't know if I really can separate them. I think if I just put it all together, a highlight for me on Y&R was just a learning experience. That's a highlight for me. It was definitely a part of my history as an actor that I feel like was so needed, necessary. And for me, it just really made me grow as an actor, because I think you need to be in a position, or I won't speak for everyone, but I know for myself, I needed to be in a position where I could see what I was doing and things that I didn't like, you know, things that I was realizing about myself as an actor. You know, it's one thing to be in class and, you know, to put up a scene and then you never see it, but to actually be on a TV show and get to watch it back. Oh, okay. Well, these are things I need to change, things that I need to do different. So, and I mean, I don't even know if you can call that a highlight, but we'll go ahead and do so. But I would say that would be a highlight for me, is just it being a learning experience, something that, you know, for a while I was like, I would cringe about. But now when I look back, I'm like, even though there's still a little bit of cringe, there's a lot of thankfulness looking back and grateful for that experience.
Well, Mason was written out in early 2014. What were your feelings then about leaving the show?
Oh, you know what? I was like, really? They're writing him out? Oh my God. I thought I was doing so well. No, you know what? I didn't know, to be honest. I didn't know why he was, you know, being written out. I was just like, oh, I guess that's just a part of the process. I don't know. I was new. I didn't know what was going on. And I just, you know, took it for a grain of salt. And then, you know, as later and you learn and you're like, oh, you understand things. You're like, oh, I get it now. I get it now. Okay, well, let's make sure that doesn't happen again. Yeah.
Did you like have any ill will or any like reservations about doing another soap after it was a wrap at Y&R?
I don't think I did. I think if anything, it was kind of like, for me, it was like a shot at redemption. It's like a chance to show growth. I'm not the same person that I was then. You know, I'm not the same actor that I was then. So no, I don't, there was never a point, you know, in that timeline where I was like, oh, I did Y&R, you know, and I don't want to do any more soaps. So no.
Well, you did make your way back to daytime, and you made your Salem debut in 2017 as Eli Grant. So tell us your Days casting.
Days. So I had a read with Marnie. It was a one-on-one read with her. And then I think if I remember correctly, I had a second test a second read with production. And then I had a chemistry test with Camila, and then a chemistry read with Vanessa. So I think I was in four times, if I'm not mistaken, for the role of Eli. And, you know, of course the nerves were there, but there was a different level of comfortability at that point. And, you know, I don't know if I really have any great stories regarding that. I just, you know, remember Vanessa being so wonderful. You know, I remember when I met her there, I was like, I just want to let you know, I love you in New Jack City. That was like, that's my thing. Her line in New Jack City, rock-a-bye, baby. That was my thing. That was my, as soon as I seen her, it's like those words just ring in my head. Sometimes even now, I'll see her walking and I'll just be in my head, rock a bye, baby. I'll never let that go. But yeah, so she was really sweet. Camila was really sweet as well. And, you know, we did our thing. And I think maybe about a week and a half, close to 2 weeks later, I got a call telling me that I got the job. And I think I was at work less than a week later with, I think like two episodes to shoot. So it was, I hit the ground and run it.
Sink or swim.
Baby. Exactly.
So what do you remember about your like first day, on the job in Salem?
First day on the job was pretty heavy. It was the scenes where I reveal to, or Eli reveals to Vanessa, Valerie, that he knows who his real dad is. And those were some heartbreaking scenes for him. So it definitely wasn't one of those days where you walk in and you're just, you know, meeting people, you know, shaking hands. Hi, my name is Eli. Your name is Julie. Nice to meet you. Oh, okay, these are the people. And it wasn't one of those type of introductory days. There was tears and all that. So it was a serious day. It was a lot of weight that I felt on my shoulders because that moment was so heavy and I wanted to do it justice. And again, this is like, I knew in the back of my head, this is the first time that, you know, a wide soap opera audience will see me since Young and the Restless. And I know, you know, they've got different viewers, but some watch the same show. So there was also a piece of me was like, you got to show them, you know? So I look back and, you know, I'm pleased with what I did, you know, with my first day on the job. And, you know, yeah, that's mm-hmm. I like to end questions with that word. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, did you feel there was anything that you had learned at Y&R that then helped you when you joined Days that you might not have known when you joined Y&R?
I did feel more comfortable just with the order of things. I had worked on Y&R, so I kind of knew how things were done. You know, I just knew more of what to expect, and I think that was all. That was a help as opposed to me going in knowing absolutely nothing. You know, I knew we rehearsed first. I knew we were going to do blocking and things like that. So just knowing ahead of time how things were going to go, that gave me a level of comfortability that I needed.
Well, the character of Eli was new, but he was crafted with really deep roots in Salem history as the son of Valerie and David mm-hmm. and the grandson of Julie. So tell us, first of all, about working with Susan Supeworth Hayes, your Salem grandma.
Yeah, she is so great. So great. Bill as well. They bring a certain shining light to Days when they're there. You know, they carry so much history on that show. They're staples, you know, and you know, I always say, you know, a lot of times, well, let me rewind that a little bit. Sometimes people who have been on a job for many, many years kind of will tend to be know-it-all or, you know, feel like they are above everyone else. You know, they've been there, they've got seniority, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, they are not like that at all. They are warm, you know, open arm, anything you need help, you know, with, they're like grandparents of not only Eli, but of the show. And it's needed, it's appreciated, and it's, you know, it's something that I was thankful for and am still thankful for, you know, every day that I get to work with him.
Well, you mentioned your lovely on-screen mother, Vanessa Williams. So tell us about mm-hmm. your relationship with her.
Love, 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 love her. She is, she's not only my mother on the show, she's a friend of mine as well. She's been over to the house, you know, we've hung out. So I can't say not one single thing bad about her. She's a great person and she's a hustler. She's a hustler. You know, if she's not at Days, she's shooting a movie here. She's got Candyman that will be out soon. And that's something, you know, that I look up to her about is she's always grinding. Someone I can definitely look up to. So she's a great, great woman.
Well, that chemistry test that you did with Camila was not for nothing. Eli and Gabby were love interests early on, and she's sort of been a recurring character in his love life. Mm. So tell us about working with Camila.
Yeah, Camila, she's great. You know, Camila is, she's like a fireball. You know, she definitely someone, you know, I can laugh and joke with. She's got a young spirit. You know, she's a great person. I actually haven't worked with her in a while. I don't think I've actually had a scene with her maybe since, I don't know if I'm even allowed to say that, but you just got it. but no, Camila's great. She's good.
Well, Eli transitioned from the FBI to the Salem PD pretty early on. And you've got Galen Gehring in the mix at the police station. You two have a lot of fun on social media, I feel, with each other. Yeah. So tell us about working with him and just kind of the jokes that go on when these cameras aren't rolling.
Yeah, I always look forward to having scenes with Galen. I just know, you know, in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, please let us get it together. Please let us get it together. We get out there and we get on a roll. But I, you know what? Anytime I have a scene with Galen, it's something that, you know, that I look forward to and extremely happy about. We always, you know, we'll catch each other in the halls and we'll be always like, hey, where's our scenes, man? We're supposed to be cops. Where's our crimes that we're supposed to figure out together? So we want more scenes together. We like working with each other. You know, it's fun. You know, you want to go to work and of course you want to work, but you want to have fun too. So
absolutely. Now, Eli and Lonnie didn't start out as each other's biggest fans, but of course their romance has developed into one of the big love stories on the show. So what do you remember about like the early days of the Eli and Lonnie relationship and beginning to work closely with Sal?
I think Sal and I always knew the back of our head that they would end up pairing the two together. And if not pairing them together, we always knew that they're going to give it a shot. They're at least going to go there and try. Her character was with JJ and my character was with Camila. and I mean, like you said, we did start off, you know, on the wrong foot. And again, we would always just say like, we're not arguing for nothing. You know, there's always something else going on. You know, why are we, what, out of everyone here, why are we beefing? You know, so we kind of knew that they were going to go that route. But I mean, you just never know. We hadn't, you know, we hadn't had any scenes together where we were flirting with each other. So we didn't know if it was actually going to work with the fans or if it, we even felt any chemistry. So, but we just knew that at some point they were going to come together. Yeah.
Now, did you two know each other before you came to the show?
Yeah. Yeah. I've known Sal for many years. I've probably known Sal for... I don't know, maybe like 13 years or so. And this goes back to modeling. And we have conflicting stories of actually how we met and who we know each other through. But we both have the same timeline. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, Sal and I have known each other for many years. We've always been cool.
Well, do you think that helped you create more of a, you know, on-camera warmth or vibe or relationship?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even when I got there and we seen each other, we're like, hey, nice to see you. You know, so we already had that, I won't say friendship because, I mean, we knew each other, but we weren't like friends. We didn't talk like, we, you know, we didn't speak to each other often, just, you know, except for when we seen each other. But there was always, there was already that thing of, for me, it was she was the only person that I knew when I showed up to work. You know, so she was someone that I can talk to. So it was already just the building block of like, this is a person I know. And if there's something I want to talk to someone that I trust, well, I can go to Sal because I know her. So it was definitely a building block that we utilized.
So now that you like have been working with Sal for a while and gotten to know each other better, clearly she has your phone number now. how would you describe, you know, the friendship and relationship and vibe that you have with each other off camera, you know, after a couple of years getting to know each other better?
Sal's my friend. Like she really is. She's my friend. God, you know, we spend so much time at work and it sucks now because before... pandemic hit, she would always be in my room. We'd be chopping it up. We'd go grab lunch. We'll come back, you know, and we would just hang out in the room, just chopping it up all day. And now we can't do that. We got to do everything over Zoom or not Zoom, but this little app and FaceTime, and it's whack. So, I mean, it sucks, but you know, it is what it is. We got to do what we got to do. But she legitimately is like a good friend of mine, you know, and someone that I believe that even, you know, if we were to, you know, part from days, she is definitely someone that I would, you know, we would keep in contact for forever, I would think.
What would you say are your favorite Eli and Lonnie moments?
Favorite Eli and Lonnie moments. I enjoyed the scenes after when the first marriage didn't work out, and we had those scenes in the little bench area. I don't remember what it's called, but when we had those scenes, I enjoyed those scenes, even though they were very heartbreaking scenes. They were, you know, something that I'll look back on at a time where we really like were vulnerable with each other, and you know, they're just really heartfelt. I think we even watched them together, and we're, you know, I got my arm around her. We're just like, oh, it's so good. Or we're just really pleased with the work. So I would say that's one of them, and jumping the broom. So both weddings then, both weddings, I think, you know, there's a lot that goes into, we spoke about, with jumping the broom and just getting to share that moment with her. So I would say those two moments.
So why do you think this couple connected so well with the day's audience?
I think they just saw, you know, the chemistry that we have. Like I said, we were friends before and we're comfortable with each other, you know, and we work well with each other. We have fun, you know, even when, you know, things are serious, you know, we still have fun working with each other. You know, it's that thing. It's like, I could have a month straight of scenes with Sal. And of course you know, we want to work with other people, but it's never that thing where it's like, oh my God, like I've been shooting scenes with you all the time. Like I want to work with somebody else. No, we're cool. We actually enjoy working together. And I think it's something that, you know, the fans can pick up on. There's a level of comfortability that I have with her and that she has with me that it's hard to get with other people, you know, and I guess that's what they call chemistry. You know, it's something that I believe that we have, and you know, something that we worked on as well. You know, you can have immediate chemistry, but as time goes on, you build, you know, with that person, and your level of comfortability grows, and it only shows more.
Well, for me, I would say some of the standout scenes were in the wake of David's death. You know, they're mm-hmm. really emotional. What were those like for you to play, and especially being a dad yourself in real life?
Yeah, you know, I've spoken that before, and I that there was a disconnection for me, and you mentioned me being a dad, and I, you know, I was drawing from that, and I have three kids, and for me personally, it took time for me to really develop that love. Like when a mother has a baby, and I don't want to speak for any mothers because I don't know, but I'm just going off what I've seen. When they have a baby, it's even when the baby is in their belly, they have this immediate attachment and love, a motherly love with the child that I personally didn't get immediate. I had to, you know, the bond had to build, you know, and I don't know if that's me or, you know, more fathers are like that as well. So I would say the disconnect for me was just trying to really dive in and just say, you know, like, oh, I have the same love for this child that she as the mother has for it. And, you know, they wanted that shown. And, you know, I hope that I showed it. And, but yeah, there was, you know, it was something that I even spoke to producers about. You know, they had in there, you know, more times than I probably would have liked, you know, oh, Eli is distraught, or Eli and I, you know, I kind of pulled the producer to the side, and I was like, hey, you know, this is my experience. And, you know, I understand that he's going through it, but I just don't know if Eli would be breaking down immediately like this, you know, and I kind of wanted to show a little bit of my take on it as well. And they were, you know, they were okay with that. So, which is, and it's also, I mean, it could be a different take that is, you know, some people will, you know, like, some people won't like it, you know, but it's a different, it's an actor's choice.
So in 2019, Eli and Lonnie tried to get married, leading to those heartbreaking scenes after she had to break up with him. Then they finally do get their happy moment this this year? Like, were you, as the actor bringing this story to life, like, were you excited for them to actually get married?
Yeah, for sure. I in my mind, I was like, oh my God, there's no way in hell we're going to get up to the altar again and it's not going to happen. Like, can you imagine two failed weddings? No way. So yeah, I was excited to get it done. And, you know, they had such a roller coaster that they had been on. And I was excited for them finally to get off of it. I mean, of course, soap couples are never going to get off the roller coaster, but maybe they can get on a different roller coaster. So I was happy for them to get off of that ride and move on to the next.
Well, the funny thing is, if we really look back on the last year or so, you've had three on-screen weddings, because then there was the Gabby wedding. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah. Eli has definitely been on every, well, I won't say every, but a lot of roller coasters in the theme park, for sure.
A lot of time in formal wear for you.
Yeah, exactly. And I like to think that Eli was looking pretty snazzy on every occasion, you know.
He was. He brought it to each wedding. to look different each time.
You know? Yeah. But it's fun. It's fun. And it's something that, you know, as an actor, you always look forward to the big moments, right? You know, whether they turn out right or whether they, you know, they don't. We appreciate those moments.
Did you have any like real jitters on any of them? I mean, does it make you nervous to be the center of attention in that way in those scenes? Like, there's a lot of pressure to like deliver.
Yeah, you know what? I always thought, you know, I used to watch movies and I would see, you know, actors giving their performance in front of like huge audience, you know, whether they're in an auditorium or whether they're, you know, speaking to hundreds of people or whatever it may be. And I'd be like, oh my God, I could never do that. I'd be so nervous. But now that I've kind of, you know, gotten to do it, I actually like it. I like doing scenes like that where I get to, you know, speak in front of a lot of people. So am I nervous? Nothing that stood out, you know, where I remember it like my first day on dates or anything like that. But no, I mean, I like scenes like those.
So after marrying Lonnie, Eli officially became a member of yet another really important historic Days family, the Carver family. And you have a grade A father-in-law in James Reynolds, who plays Abe. So tell us about working with Mr. James Reynolds.
James is like the wise man that I can go to. He's got so much knowledge. There's been a few times where things have come up. One of them being the scenes that we had to do where Julie was speaking on the whole Martin Luther King. I think as she said, I forgot actually what she said, but she, you know, she made some remarks about Martin Luther King and, you know, African American history and things like that. And I remember when I got the scenes, you know, I wasn't feeling it. You know, I definitely felt some type of way about it. And I went to Abe. He's someone that I can go to and have these serious conversations with and someone that I trust his opinion. And I went to him and I spoke to him about it because I was feeling really negative about it, you know, to a point where I was like, you know, like, I don't want to do this. I'm feeling it. And, you know, I had a good talk with him about it. And he made me, you know, he made me feel really comfortable with it and made me see the bigger picture in it all. So going back to Abe, he's definitely someone that that I need, you know, on the show and on behind the scenes. He's definitely someone that's needed.
Well, we did see some of Eli's backstory explored when they introduced the character of Sheila, played by Tian Watkins. You know, what was that like for you, first of all, to work with Tian, and also just that you kind of got more of a picture of who Eli was before he came to Salem?
Yeah, we got some history, Eli's history, when she came on the show, and she's so fun to work with, like so fun to work with. I was nervous working with her just because I grew up listening to TLC and their music, and so it was kind of a surreal experience to be across from her having these lines. I remember it was a little weird at first. I was like, wow, like, you're Sheila, but no, you're T-Boz. I'm like literally saying lines with T-Boz right now. You know, so that took, you know, a second for me to just really get rid of of Lamone, who wanted to creep out, you know, and sit here and have a conversation about the music instead of the show. she's so down to earth. She's so cool. You know, she's a hoot to work with. It's just fun working with her. Very fun and relaxed and she's funny as well.
Now Eli is set to become a father to twins. Lonnie's due date is right around the corner. They're a little separated right now on screen. So what are your hopes for the future of Eli and Lonnie and their family?
Well, I hope they'll work it out. You know, like I said, they've been through so much. To let someone on the outside who is a quote unquote friend ruin their marriage, and you know, they've worked so hard at and at a point where they're now about to bring two babies into the world, it would just be a shame for them to not be able to work past that. And if you ask me, Lonnie's just got to get her together. Because she's tripping, you know.
Eli did his job. Like,
yeah, he's just doing his job. You know, she's all stuck up on Kristen. You know, I don't know. Maybe they had a little secret relationship going on.
In the nunnery?
Nun house. Who knows what was going on? Eli sure isn't privy to it.
Those are going to be some steamy flashbacks when we find out.
For sure. For sure.
It was so great to talk to you today. We thank you for joining us. And, you know, look forward to a little special Christmas day for Eli and Lonnie. We won't say why, but people should tune in.
Yeah. Hopefully some happier days with them soon.
That's right. And we hope you have a really happy holiday and a wonderful 2021.
Yes. Same to you guys. Be safe. Stay corona-free. Wear your mask. All that good stuff.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Lamone Archie for being our guest. If you like this podcast, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to pick up a new issue on sale now and come back next week for another podcast.